Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Forging ahead, chapped lips and all, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that brings a tear to the eye. He's a former resident of the old Pueblo, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm still blushing from the beautiful accolades that my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, just gave me. I'm sure that it was a heartwarming, heartfelt pat on the back for the great work that I'm trying to do, helping people through Medicare. It is one of these days where I'm looking out at my Arizona mountains and I say to myself, what are you doing inside, you dope? But the point of being inside is to help people get through Medicare without having regrets. And they can come out the other side with excellent protection against medical expenses and excellent protection that doesn't cost very much. That's the other goal. You want to have good protection, and you want to have it at a reasonable price. There's very little of value that's free nowadays, but reasonably priced protection against medical expenses is probably the best you can hope for if you have an encounter with Medicare. And the way that I can explain how to do that for you is to offer you a copy of my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, 2023. If you were to go to, let's say, Amazon.com, for instance, or BarnesandNoble.com and buy a copy of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, you would have the knowledge that you need to make an encounter with Medicare work in your favor. You would know the important facts about Medicare and the decisions that you have to make and the timetable you have to follow in order to avoid any unpleasant consequences. And when that encounter with Medicare has been completed, you'll feel confident and happy for the rest of your days. I'm pretty sure about that. So I would suggest that you go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. If you go to Amazon, you're going to find four different editions. You're going to find an e-book, a Kindle. I always want to say ebook because there are lots of devices, but I call it a Kindle, kind of a knee-jerk reaction. That is only $3.80. You're getting a wealth of knowledge for $3.80. But if you want to get the tried and true paperback, that's going to be an $8 purchase. And if you want me to do all the work for you, you want me to say the words into your ear, you want me to turn the pages, that is going to cost you something on the order of $6 because that's going to be an audible book that you listen to. And finally, if you've got a loved one or a friend that you want to gift the gift of Medicare knowledge to, $22 buys you a finely crafted hardcover book, an edition of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023 that is suitable for anyone's shelf of keepsake books. So those are the choices that you would have if you go to Amazon to purchase my book. And then in the book, it'll tell you how to get in touch with me, and I can tell you how to finish off the whole process. I can sell you the insurance that you're going to need to plug the gaping holes in Medicare, and eventually you will be one happy camper, and we will have had a fun time doing it. Now, speaking of fun times, I know a guy who is nothing but fun pretty much all the time, and that is Randy Carson. Randy, how the heck are you? You've been out of commission for a long time. What was going on?
Well, as you might know, I took a vacation.
Well, you certainly did. You were completely SOL. No, you weren't SOL. I was SOL.
Margaret and I had a blast because of a variety of reasons, COVID and everything else in the world. We hadn't had a day off literally for four years, almost five. So we decided we had some friends come out from Michigan, and we decided just to do a week. They came out one Saturday and left the next. So we had a little bit more in a week. But anyway, we had a blast. We went horseback riding. We went Jeep riding. We went target shooting. We found a place to buy some Guinness.
Oh.
And it was amazing. And the friend from Michigan, he was an IPA guy, but I did my best to hold up my end of the bargain with Guinness.
Well, you certainly turned me around. You know, I used to be just a regular Miller High Life guy, and you've made me kind of thirst for Guinness occasionally when I think back about the time I had a few Guinnesses. Guinness,
that's exactly right. That's the plural of Guinness, is Guinness. So have you ever, I have never asked you, have you done IPA? Do you like IPA? Do you not like IPA?
Not a big fan.
Yeah. Yeah, me neither. Margaret and I met these folks probably about 6 or 7 years ago on a cruise. And Greg's a big IPA guy, so I tried one, and it was just not my gig.
Yeah. Frankly, in addition to flavors that aren't really palatable to me, I also think that they're kind of pretentious. And there are a lot of people who talk IPA talk that I get tired of listening to very quickly.
Well, I agree. I'm no beer expert, but apparently IPA just poked his head above the grass not all that long ago, right?
I never heard about IPAs until fairly recently. And now, as you know, there are microbreweries everywhere. When we started driving old Corvettes around the country, occasionally we would stop in a town that had a microbrewery that somebody had taken over an abandoned building and saved it. You know, so it's nice that they saved mm-hmm. these old buildings in these old Western towns. But man, their first thing they make is something that I don't really like. So the microbrewery craze and I are not friends. And I'll say furthermore that when I go to a restaurant in a town that has a microbrewery that the town has, you know, got all sewn up, well, like you go to Jerome,
right.
Arizona.
Right.
And some places you go, you can't get regular beer because they think that you should enjoy this handcrafted IPA stuff that they're foisting on everybody that shows up. So I can't blame them for trying to be successful entrepreneurs, but, you know, give me what I'm used to. Give me what I like, and I'm a happy camper.
You know, now that I think about it, Doug, I have that same problem. Now, I don't require a Guinness. Okay, it'd be nice if I had one. I like Guinness, but I just want, if they don't have Guinness, just give me a regular old beer, like a Miller Lite or something like that. But to your point, I don't like being foisted upon, you know, this custom handcrafted, you know, beer. I don't. And I've run into some restaurants, I'm sure you have too, that have nothing else.
Exactly right. And that's very frustrating. And I always make it known, you know, I would be a happier customer if you would have a little wider range of products so that I can make a choice.
Yeah, and, I agree with you.
I'm with you. Hey, listen, you know, there was a lot of Medicare stuff that happened while you were gone. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. I'm sure that you spent a lot of time thinking about your responsibilities to the Medicare.
Well, actually, I did have some conversations with our company, which I'll have to bring you up to speed on in general terms. But bottom line is I really didn't try to think about it.
I don't blame you.
It crept into my head occasionally, not in a bad sort of way, but I had such a good time with these folks, and I learned a lot of stuff about IPA, which I'm not an expert. I don't particularly care for the taste, but just so you know, Doug, I've got IPA in my garage by the 18-wheeler load now because I tried to turn my friend Greg over to the dark side in Guinness, and I did it.
Well, good for you. So all of the beer that he bought for himself just stayed in your house, huh?
No, all the beer I bought for him.
Oh, I thought you said you had a bunch of you bought IPA for him, and now it's you're stuck with it, huh? Yeah.
Now I got IPA. So any place, I'm going to run up and down the street here shortly. Maybe tomorrow. I'm going, anybody want an IPA? I'll give it to them.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, you were nice to buy all that stuff. It kind of reminds me of my sister, her husband, and their friends visiting Cave Creek for a week a couple of months ago. The weather sucked. So the first thing they did and the second and the third thing they did was raid some liquor store. And they just swooped in like a Canadian army and bought everything they could carry. And, of course, their eyeballs were bigger than their gullets. And so they, at the end of their trip, all that stuff landed on my garage, which was fantastic. But it wasn't IPAs and stuff. It was mostly stuff that, well, there was a beer called Sol, S-O-L, from Mexico. Never heard of it. And I thought, oh, God, this is going to be terrible. I opened one up, you know, closed my eyes, scrunched up my face. I had a mouthful, and it was pretty darn good. It was pretty tasty.
No kidding. Oh, my God. What?
Yeah, so they may not have all the same tastes that I do, but they wound up saving me a ton of money by giving me all of their unused alcohol, and it was pretty cool.
Well, do you know of anybody of your friend circle that likes IPA?
Oh boy, I sure don't, but I'll ask around. I'll ask around because I've got a couple of friends that are so cheap that they'll take damn near anything if the price is right.
This would be free if they want it, because I mean, literally this stuff will sit in my garage until there's no such thing as IPA anymore. But
well, you remember Clarence, he was our first guest on the podcast ever.
Yeah.
Well, he has moved from Gilbert up to Cave Creek. And so I'm going to ask him if he likes IPA. If he does, I'll put you two guys together and you can strike whatever deal you can.
Well, I absolutely would appreciate that, because I don't mind having it. I do mind putting it to waste, though.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Beer is beer. It's to be revered. It's to be treated with respect, even if it's IPA that we don't like.
Now, just one thing. It just popped into my head. Can you imagine Miss Kitty? You know Miss Kitty.
Well, her husband, one of her many husbands, worked for my grandfather. So I've been at her house.
You told me that. Now, just imagine that you're in Gunsmoke world. Uh-huh. Miss Kitty's at the end of the bar. Somebody walks and goes, I'll take an IPA, bartender.
Oh, boy. No. That's not going to. He'd go flying out the doors.
That's not going to work.
He'd land in the dirt in the middle of the street.
Yeah, exactly. With his IPA.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, you mentioned that your friends were from Michigan. I had forgotten that when you told me they were coming into town. And I have had a Michigan contact or a Michigan connection over the last couple of weeks that I hadn't mentioned before. It's somebody who listens to the podcast. His name is Kevin, and his lovely bride is named Dawn. And so it reminds me of you, because he's retiring from the Steelcase Corporation. And I know that your office.
Oh, yes.
When you're not out at the pool.
Yeah, my office is outfitted in Steelcase.
Absolutely. And so what I started talking to Kevin about, and I got delusions of grandeur. Kevin was retiring on a Steelcase, fairly paternalistic company. So they have a lot to do with the benefit structure of the retirees' plans. They offer a $900 bonus for each employee and dependent spouse, apparently, if they take a certain company's Medicare supplement plan. And so Kevin and I went back and forth a whole bunch of times, and I thought I was going to get his Medicare supplement business and his drug plans for both he and his wife. And it came down to the fact that his ex-employer, his employer that he was retiring from, pretty much threw enough money at him that I wound up with only one plan from that family. And it was a drug plan, a Part D drug plan. And so I said, well, that's a start. That's fine with me, because frankly, I enjoy having the relationship. And Kevin listens to the podcast, so he'll recognize himself in this. But after all of the work I did, the one plan I ran through the database at medicare.gov, and that turns out to be the plan for him, the best plan of all is the one that doesn't pay any commission. And so, frankly, I got to tell you that I'm hoping that Kevin bumps into somebody at a cocktail party who's complaining about Medicare, because I think he'll probably use give them my name and number. I hope anyway. He seems appreciative of the fact that I jumped through a bunch of hoops and lost. I was aced out of his business. The other thing, I've never asked Kevin this, but if he bought my book, the 2023 version, he might want to go back to Amazon and leave a short little written review, because that carries a lot of weight with future readers. It makes it easier for people who are just approaching Medicare to decide whether a book is likely to be helpful and whether it's likely to be a dependable source of information. So anyway, kudos to Kevin and Dawn. I'm glad things worked out for them, and I'm looking forward to talking to them again in the future. But they're up in Michigan. We talked this morning, compared notes about weather, and I think I won that little conversation. So I've got a whole pile of articles here that I should going through more carefully in order to organize and maybe put in some kind of interesting order. But I didn't do that, of course. So let me see here. One of the articles that I picked out to go through is entitled "The Challenges of Choosing Medicare Coverage," and it purports to be views from insurance brokers and agents. So the general description here of this article is that many Medicare beneficiaries, that's you, ladies and gentlemen, lack objective information about the trade-offs of different coverage options, relying instead on advice from insurance brokers and relying on marketing claims. Now, I think that's probably true. A lot of people ask for my opinion about stuff, and they have no idea whether I have my head screwed on straight or not, until they talk to me for a while and they realize that my depth of experience probably gives me some wealth of information to draw upon when forming an opinion. And this goes on to say, most insurance brokers and agents advising Medicare beneficiaries, once again, that's you, they say they earn much higher commissions for enrolling people in Medicare Advantage plans as opposed to Medicare supplement policies, with some variation. I don't know what that variation would be, but that's exactly right. So this was a focus group of insurance agents, and it gives all of the demographics of the people who participated in the focus group. We don't care about that. Leave it to us to understand that it is a bunch of Medicare agents and brokers. So the article goes on to say, Medicare beneficiaries must weigh several trade-offs when deciding among their coverage options, whether they choose a private Medicare Advantage plan or traditional Medicare with supplemental coverage. And of course, that's what I recommend that people buy. Enroll in Medicare Parts A and B, and then I will sell you a Medicare supplement that is much less likely to disappoint you down the road than a Medicare Advantage plan would. For example, Medicare Advantage plans typically provide benefits that are not included in traditional Medicare, such as eyeglass coverage, as well as a limit on out-of-pocket expenses for medical services. Traditional Medicare, on the other hand, allows beneficiaries to go to any doctor, any hospital, or other provider that accepts Medicare without the need for prior approval. Now, that's pretty important. For help in making these decisions, nearly one-third of beneficiaries aged 65 and older said they turned to an insurance broker or agent. Beneficiaries lack information, however, about how brokers and agents winnow down the plan options and what role financial incentives might play in the advice they give. Given the wide use of brokers and agents and the potential impact of their guidance on beneficiaries' coverage choices, the Commonwealth Fund, I guess that's who's behind this article, they partnered with public opinion research firm Perry Undum. Don't know who that is. Anyway, they partnered with that firm to learn their perspectives on the state of coverage choices, the challenges the clients face in choosing an option, and the ways in which their financial incentives align or conflict with the beneficiary's interests. In September of 2022, so that's about 6 months ago, that Perry Undum outfit held four focus groups with more than two dozen brokers and agents who sell Medicare Advantage plans, Medigap supplemental coverage plans, and Part D prescription drug plans. The participants were diverse, oh, that's very important, with respect to age, gender, race, and ethnicity. The states in which they operated, and a number of years they had been selling Medicare private plans. For focus group details, we don't need that. In general, most brokers and agents in the focus groups recalled receiving much higher commissions for enrolling people in Medicare Advantage plans compared to Medigap supplemental plans for traditional Medicare, with some variation by geographic region and new enrollments versus renewals. Brokers and agents said they tend to sell the combination of traditional Medicare with a Medigap policy to beneficiaries with higher incomes and Medicare Advantage plans to people with lower incomes. And also, most brokers and agents said they personally would choose traditional Medicare with a Medigap plan, believing that combination offers better coverage and choices than Medicare Advantage would, especially as people age. So that's first part of this article. I think what we've learned here is that Medicare Advantage plans pay much, much higher commissions than Medicare supplement plans do. And the other thing we've learned is that most brokers and agents say that they personally would only choose traditional Medicare with Medicare supplement because it offers much better coverage and choices than Medicare Advantage would. So I'm going to keep that for future reference. I'm going to go through that article and see what else there might be that we could use of interest. And because we have a diverse audience made up of people from all walks of life and all kinds of interests and so forth, that I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about something that I find to be refreshing. I think this is good news. I'm happy to hear it. I'm hoping Randy feels the same way. Study suggests that more young people are purposefully driving cars with manual transmissions. How do you like them apples? That's fairly new. Well, go ahead.
That is a really cool bit of news. What's driving that?
Well, here's the thing. I'll get into the article a little bit, but I remember that my 65 Corvette, I read a statistic that of the Corvettes purchased in that era in the mid 60s, 80% were stick shifts and 20% were automatics. And then about 15 years later, it was totally reversed. 20% were stick shifts and 80% were automatics. And now, according to this, less than 1% of new cars have been manual transmissions. So I thought that was kind of weird. A running joke these days is if you want to prevent your car from being stolen, make sure it has a manual transmission. According to J.D. Power surveys, less than 1% of all new car sales in 2021 had a manual transmission. However, a new study suggests there's been a rise in interest in manual cars, and young people may be responsible. Sales for new manual transmission cars rose from 0.9% all the way up to, they skyrocketed up to 1.2% last year in 2022. And again, to 1.7% so far in 2023, according to the Wall Street Journal. The next generation of drivers are intentionally seeking out cars with a stick shift due to them being more affordable and more fuel efficient than its automatic counterparts. So that's the meat, the crux of that article. I will say that I'm having a little bit of personal involvement in that. My 98 Blazer, which is the last of the two-door S10 Blazers, I left in Illinois in a garage, and my friend who I grew up with, who owns the house and owns the garage, returned home from his winter in Arizona, and he said, "Hey, I didn't remember that your car was a 5-speed. He said, "I want to take that up to my granddaughter who just got her license and show her what life was like back in the olden days when we were young." And she's never seen a stick shift before because her parents have cars with automatics. And so I said, "You go right ahead and do that." And I called my insurance agent and got the insurance reinstated on the car so that he'd be fully insured when he drives it up to his granddaughter's house. He wants to broaden her horizon. So I can't wait to hear how that's going to go. So I think we've probably come close to running out of time today. How have the crickets been doing? Are they still available for timekeeping?
They have come and left.
Oh, okay.
So, but there was one thing I wanted to mention. You know, you were discussing some aspects of a Medicare Advantage plan, you know, the free dental and the free eyeglasses.
Yep.
I found out just the other day, earlier last week, I don't think I've mentioned this to you, but there's a Medicare Advantage plan that actually offers free plastic monocles now.
Well, that's excellent, because who was the guy? I guess the rich uncle? No, that was a different game. Who was the Monopoly guy? He wore a monocle, didn't he?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but I don't know what his name was per se. But
okay.
Was that Daddy Warbucks?
No, that was an Annie. The comic strip Annie. But there was, I had a game when I was a kid that had, it was just like Monopoly, but it was called Rich Uncle. And it
I never had that game.
It took so long to set it up because there were like 25 different denominations of paper money, and everybody had to get a certain, it was a lot of work to set that thing up so the kids could have an afternoon, a rainy afternoon of playing with somebody else's money.
And, or screaming at each other when they lost.
That's often what happened with the younger ones, especially. But that's the problem with Medicare Advantage plans. You know, people are told that, this plan includes dental, this plan includes vision coverage, and this plan has all this other free stuff. Well, often that is a very limited plan, like a discount instead of an insured dental plan, for instance. So you get a certain amount of discount off of their retail charge for services. But what do? They jack up the retail charge so that the discount still makes the dentist happy that you came and you don't save that much money. So it's not as exciting to get a Medicare Advantage plan that has the bells and whistles attached to it that Medicare supplements don't have, because often those turn out to be disappointing as well. So,
well, you know, you can't win them all, Doug. You just really can't. Well, as you mentioned earlier, we have used up our 75 cents worth of time here on the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. So there's a couple things I always try to take care of before we let go of you. Number one is reminding you all that Doug Jones is a nationwide licensed agent to help you with your Medicare supplement plans and your Part D plans too. So ultimately, he likes to get email. He was telling me just the other day, I was riding through the forest on my horse, and he called me up and he said, "I didn't get any email today." I said, "Okay, I'll bring it up on the podcast. So get a pencil, write down Doug's email address at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. And also you can check out our website at medicareforthelazyman.com. He talked about the book, he talked about the audio, he talked about the Kindle, but he didn't talk about that we would certainly appreciate having you find a place to give us a rating on the podcast and the book. It helps us in the rating wars, and we're always in the midst of rating wars. But having said that, thank you so much for joining us. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, originally from Oklahoma, now living in his fortress of solitude behind Cave Creek, Arizona, up in the high altitude. I think I'm going to have to clock him in at about 24.5 today.
Because, give me the oxygen. Give me the oxygen.
Absolutely. We got to have oxygen. But I have got to tell you that for those of you who haven't been to Arizona, take a ride through the Tonto National Forest, because I didn't realize it, but our driver told us when we went on our Jeep ride that it is about the fifth largest national park in the United States, and it comes in at about 2.3 million acres.
Wow, that's a lot of acreage. I will say that I just got an answer back from my neighbors. Their driver's name was Matt. So
Matt,
not Big Dave.
Not Big Dave. Okay. Well, I'm sure Matt was good, and I really enjoyed Big Dave. So let's go ahead and sign her off today. Hope you have a good day. And Doug needs to go find his oxygen mask.
Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for joining us.